And thank you so much that you've given me words to speak this morning that I couldn't speak unless you anointed me yourself to preach. And I ask that you'll be with the people here of Canyonville and all the visitors and everyone here today, that you will help this message to reach them, that you will help them to listen and to understand, and that you'll give me the right words to speak. And thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to show them who you are from your word in the book of Daniel. Thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a question for all of you this morning. Something very practical. How many of you have ever had a dream? Raise your hand. Okay, so a good 80% of us, maybe more, have had dreams in our lives. I had a crazy dream, and I'll tell you about it in just a little bit. Dreams are very strange things because, if you think about it, you go through your day and you live your life and you see things consciously, and then when you go to bed, then all of a sudden your brain decides, I'm going to play a video in my head or whatever, and I'm going to have a weird scenario that is probably not even real. I mean, you hear about people having dreams all the time, you know, like my dad sometimes says he has nightmares about being naked up front or something, you know, some nightmare, some crazy dream, you know, crazy things that you would never even consider in normal life, you know. Like, why am I wearing this pink dress? Or who's that tall person that looks like Jim Garrett out there who's, you know, shrinking or whatever? I mean, there's all these things. Our brain does weird things when we dream. And I'll tell you, it's one of the strangest things, I think, that God has allowed us to have, because a dream is just, it's basically fake. It's one of the few things in life that's really fake. You know, they say you can't, your wishes can't come true. Well, they can in a dream, and it's really an interesting thing. But dreams are good and dreams are bad. Some are direct messages from God. So here's a story that I'll read you from Ellen White. She had a dream that helped to answer someone's question. So it was late winter in 1850. Ellen White had just passed her 23rd birthday, and she was now the mother of two sons, Henry and Edson. James was 29 and was holding meetings in Oswego, New York. As was common back in those days, when an Adventist preacher started meetings, it stirred up the other churches and they would start meetings themselves so that people wouldn't be drawn away from their congregations. In Oswego, New York, the Methodist Church did just that. A young couple, Hiram Patch and his fiancée, both 21 years old, attended James White's meetings. And the next night, they attended the Methodist meetings. The one holding the Methodist meetings was a country treasurer who also served as the lay Methodist preacher. Hiram and his fiancée were confused as to what to believe, and in their confusion, they came to the Whites and asked them which meeting they should continue to attend. Immediately, Ellen White went into vision. At first, they wondered what was going on, but James assured them that it was normal, and that when she came out of vision, they would most likely have an answer. After the vision, she turned to them and said, "Do you have your Bibles?" And they said, "Yes, we do." She said, "I've been told, turn your attention to Hosea 5, verses 6 through 7, which reads, 'They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions.'" Ellen White said, "Wait a month, and you will know for yourself the character of the persons who are engaged in this revival and who profess to have such a great burden for sinners." Hiram Patch and his fiancée said, "Okay, we'll wait and see, just like you've said." 2 weeks later, the Methodist lay preacher, the country treasurer, broke a blood vessel in his stomach while praying. He was carried home and put on bed rest. Meanwhile, the sheriff took over the county's finances, and while looking over the books, they found that there was a shortage of $1,000. Back in 1850, that was probably like $100,000 today. The sheriff went to the treasurer's home to inquire about the missing money. Both his wife and himself insisted they knew nothing. However, when the sheriff had gone to the front door, his constable had gone to the back of the house in the shed. Suddenly the back door opened and the treasurer's wife came running out and buried a sack and a snowdrift out back. When confronted with the evidence, the Methodist revival came to a crashing halt, and both the treasurer and his wife were put in jail, and Hiram Patch and his fiancée determined to become lifetime members of the early Adventist movement. movement. Well, that's a pretty phenomenal story about a dream, isn't it? I mean, just a simple vision, but yet it was a dream that God used to speak to Ellen White. But friends, we know that Jesus holds the future and He knows what's going to happen. We know that back in the days of ancient Babylon, there was a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream too, didn't he? Let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. As you're turning to Daniel chapter 2, I'll just remind you that this happened in about 603 BC, and Daniel and his three friends and many other Jews were taken captive by Babylon, by King Nebuchadnezzar, and Israel was in exile it was really a punishment from God for their wickedness. But let's go to Daniel 2, and I'll start reading from the New International Version now. Daniel 2, verse 1. We'll just kind of walk through the whole chapter here. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was, and the interpretation, I will have you cut into pieces, and your houses will be turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards of great honor. So tell me the dream and explain it, and you will receive from me great gifts and rewards. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king is asking. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among the humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So friends, this is, in a way, a situation that I can relate to, having a dream that's frustrating. Have you ever forgotten a dream that you had? Now, some dreams are worth forgetting, of course. That's good. Other dreams you wish, "Why did I forget that? I want to know what I dreamed." In fact, one of the craziest dreams that I have is sometimes I lose something, and then it'll be misplaced around the house or something, and then I'll have a dream where I find it. And then I think, well, maybe if I go there in the morning when I wake up, I'll find it. But I haven't had it happen yet, so I guess it's just dreams being fake. So, I had a dream recently, though, that was very vivid, that I think is a good illustration of how crazy dreams can get. So, I was in the Chehalis Church, where I grew up for 11 years, in Washington. And there was a bunch of people there from Southern Adventist University. In fact, I think the university was supposed to be there. And they were having some sort of dinner, and so I was there. It was kind of neat. I got to see a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a few months, because I've been home. And one of them was my RA on my hall. It's a hall of 24 and above that have their own room down there in the basement of the dorm. And this guy's name is Dallas, and he was a really good friend of mine who just recently graduated, and now he's going to Loma Linda soon. And he came in with me to Southern. We attended Life and Teachings class in 2015 in the summer together, and we were there ever since until he's now gone. But I got to see him there, and hey, how's it going? Well, then I ran into Dr. Terry, who taught my Comp 1 in American Literature classes, and she's one of the best professors there. She's really, as far as professors go, she's more of a friend. She's actually kind of like an aunt. She's just very easy to talk to, always friendly, always smiles, always listens. Very good teacher, very interesting classes. No one ever falls asleep in her classes. They're always interesting. Well, she said to me, "Hey, Christopher, good to see you. Well, I'm moving to Nebraska." And I thought, "Oh no, she's moving to Nebraska? We can't have that." I wanted to take another class from her. And I woke up and I was so disappointed. I thought, "No, Dr. Terry's going to Nebraska." And then I realized, "Oh, it's a dream." Whew! Thank goodness. I was so glad because I didn't want to lose Dr. Terry. So, you know, crazy, crazy dreams can happen. And for a few seconds, I thought it was real. Well, imagine God making Nebuchadnezzar dream some crazy dream that just is so vivid and yet so amazing that he gets upset, but then God takes it away from his memory so he doesn't remember it. And then he wakes up all in a fit and he goes, I need someone to tell me this dream. I have to remember. I can't remember. Why can't I remember this dream? It was so vivid. It's so scary. What happened? What happened in this dream?" And he calls for his wise men and the whole thing, and then, you know, he gets furious. "Ah, just kill them all. Just kill them all. I don't want to put up with this. You guys, fake magicians." Well, God was working, wasn't he? He was trying to give Nebuchadnezzar a message, and he knew that Nebuchadnezzar would call upon Daniel, didn't he? God was getting Nebuchadnezzar worked up so he could use Daniel. Let's continue in verse 14. Let's keep reading. And from Daniel 2, verse 14. "And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach?'" Oh, sorry, wrong chapter. You have to watch where you're reading. "When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact, and he asked the king's officer, 'Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?' Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel, and at this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, 'Praise be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king.'" See, folks, God knows the future. Jesus has the future in his hands, and he's the one who will reign forever. Amen? Yeah. If you are worried about the way things are going in the world, just read Daniel's prayer for comfort and assurance. He gives a lot of insight. Now I'm going to skip ahead to verse 24. We'll continue reading there to the end of the chapter. "Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, 'Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret the dream for him.' Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, 'I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream was and what it means.' And the king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, 'Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?' Daniel replied, 'No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your minds as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, the mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. And it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were all broken in pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving any trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You, O king, are the head of gold. And after you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. And finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. And just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strength of iron mixed in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering of an incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. And that's Daniel 2. And by the way, the king did not execute those wise men. Daniel saved their lives. But folks, God really does hold the future. Jesus is coming soon, friends, and if you remember my last sermon, I asked you, are you ready to meet him today? Are you ready to see him and do you know him? Do you know the way to be born again? Are you familiar with Jesus and is he your friend? Because if not, when he comes, you too will be crushed just like those kingdoms by that great stone that is not cut out by human hands. And none of us want to have that happen to us. But Jesus will reign, folks, and he'll reign longer than Trump or Nebuchadnezzar or Alexander the Great or any other world leader to have ever existed. He'll have a perfect kingdom, he'll have a righteous kingdom, and he'll have a kingdom that will last forever. We'll put all the other kingdoms to shame. Jesus' reign will never end, but Satan's joke of a reign is over, and Jesus won that battle. Amen. Now, as I close, let me read what Ellen White said in the book Prophets and Kings, pages 499 and 501. In the annals of human history, the growth of nations, the rise and fall of empires, appears to have depended on the will and prowess of man. The shaping of events seems to a great degree to be determined by his power, ambition, or caprice. But in the Word of God, the curtain is drawn aside, and as we behold above, behind, and through all the play and counterplay of human interests and power and passions, the agencies of the All-Merciful One silently working out the counsels of His own will. Hundreds of years before certain nations came upon the stage of action, the Omniscient One looked down the ages and predicted the rise and fall of the universal kingdoms. God declared to Nebuchadnezzar that the kingdom of Babylon should fall, and a second kingdom would arise, which would also have its period of trial. failing to exalt the true God, its glory would fade, and the third kingdom would occupy its place. This also would pass away, and the fourth, strong as iron, would subdue the nations of the world. In the history of nations, the student of God's word may behold the literal fulfillment of divine prophecy. Babylon, shattered and broken at last, passed away because in prosperity its rulers had regarded themselves as independent of God and had ascribed the glory of their kingdom to human achievement. But friends, we know who the real leader was. It was God. He was the one behind the scenes who set everything up. He takes down kings and he sets them up. Friends, Jesus holds the future and he will reign forever. And I challenge each one of you today to pray that you will be ready for the second coming, and that when you meet Jesus, that you will be able to call him friend. And also, friends, read Daniel 2 on your own. Consider the implications that it has for yourself in the last days, which are now upon us. And let's not forget about those dreams that we have. You know, sometimes they are important. Did you know that in Muslim countries today, where people cannot go in the 1040 window, there are dreams that God is giving to Muslim people? And he is giving them dreams about, you know, he calls himself Isa, and which is the name that the Muslims call Jesus. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. And they have these amazing dreams, and then they tell their families, and some get rejected, some almost get executed, some get threatened, and others find a Christian church and go worship and become Christian and just totally shock the neighborhood. And God really has a way to reach whoever he wants. He knows the needs out there in the world, and we may not be able to go there in person and proclaim the gospel. I know if I went there and preached this message there, I would probably be beheaded. It's just a very sad reality that some countries are just that hostile to Christians. But friends, even though we may support a war against those type of people, or we may want to say, well, why don't we chop their heads off, or why don't we go kill them and show them their medicine? But folks, Jesus loves all people, doesn't he? And he loves those Muslims more than we ever could. And he's got a way to reach them that we can't even imagine. I mean, you and I can't give them a dream. We could give them some sort of weird meal at midnight and maybe they would have some weird reaction and then dream or something. But only God can really give dreams, can't he? And he can give the dreams that they need. He's even had dreams where he's, as Jesus, giving them a Bible study. Isn't that wonderful? But God, friends, just may use a dream to tell you something, just like he used a dream and a servant named Daniel to get the attention of King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon many years ago. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you once again for this opportunity I had to preach to the good people of Canyonville and the visitors here. I pray, Lord, that you'll send your Holy Spirit to be with them and impress their hearts to remember what they've heard today, not just for the rest of today, but, Lord, for the rest of this coming week. And I ask, Lord, that you send your Spirit, help them, Lord, to find you and to know you for who you are. And, Lord, if there's any sins in anyone's life here that has not been given over to you, let them confess them to you, and Lord, just bless them all and help them be with the firefighters too, Lord, that are fighting the blaze. Help that to be put out very soon. And thank you, Lord, for the otherwise wonderful weather that we have with the sunshine. Give us all a good Sabbath. Thank you for your rest that you've given us today. And Lord, give us all a dream, just like Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, that helps us to get to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.